Thank you so much, choir. And Cherry, that was much better than the song I had picked out. So. I'm reading this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Paul tells Timothy, "Deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent understanding and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus." Now, the title for this sermon comes from a song written by Randy Bachman and performed by a Canadian rock group, Bachman Turner Overdrive, in 1974. That's the song I was referring to when I mentioned Cherry. Her song was better. I had asked her last Wednesday night if the choir could do "Taking Care of Business." And thankfully, reason prevailed. But here are some of the lyrics to that song. "You get up every morning from your alarm clock's warning. Take the 8:15 into the city. There's a whistle up above and people pushing, people shoving, and the girls who try to look pretty. And if your train's on time, you can get to work by 9 and start your slaving job to get your pay. If you ever get annoyed, look at me, I'm self-employed. I love to work at nothing all day. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. It's the work that we avoid, and we're all self-employed. We love to work at nothing all day. And we be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way." Now, not only is that not a great song, this is not a song that extols the virtue of hard work to get ahead, to make something of yourself, to make your mark in the world, but rather one that suggests to drift in life is really living the life. Just kick back, chill out, and watch the world go by, no strain, no pain, no gain, no stress. Now, I would suggest to you and to those who are being ordained as deacons this morning, and to all past, present, and future deacons, that you cannot work at nothing and fulfill the ministry to which you are called. I would further suggest to you that taking care of business as a deacon requires, first of all, that you take care of your family. The fact that God has set you apart to serve in the office of deacon does not mean that you must give the church every free moment of your time to the neglect of your family. The needs of your family, your spouse, your children, and in some cases, your grandchildren, do not suddenly diminish or take on a lesser importance once you are ordained as a deacon. Those needs will continue. They will still need to be met. I've never been impressed, I have to tell you, with the minister or the deacon or the church member who has never missed a Sunday school class, never missed a committee meeting of any kind, but has never seen his child or his grandchild play ball or been to a recital. I've never been impressed with the minister or the deacon or the church member who can respond to everyone else's needs but doesn't have time for his or her spouse. Time to be alone. Time that you reserve for each other and no one else. In 1 Timothy 3, I hear Paul saying to the church, to the deacons, see to the needs of your family. Do not neglect them. Do not overlook them. I would go on and suggest to you that taking care of business as a deacon requires that you take care of yourself. And I'm talking about your spiritual life. Spend time alone with the Lord every day. Time for meditation, reflection, time in which you speak to God, and time in which you listen for God to speak to you. Time alone with the Word. And time for prayer. Be men of prayer. Bring your own needs and the needs of your family to God in prayer, the needs of your church. And I make no apology, and for me, pray for me, as I will be praying for you. The story is told of a Welsh woman who lived in a remote valley in Wales. And she went to a great deal of trouble and a great deal of expense to have electrical power installed in her home. However, the power company noticed that this woman hardly used any electricity, minuscule at best, and so they sent some company men out to her house to check things out, to check the meter, check the lines, make sure everything was working, everything was fine. They knocked on the door and they asked the lady, "Don't you use any electricity?" And she said, "Yes, I do. We turn it on every night to see how to light our lamps and then we cut it off." Well, some people treat prayer that way. They pray so little and so seldom. And they forget this truth, but it's still a truth. Little prayer, little power. J.B. Phillips paraphrases 1 Corinthians 19 and 20 by saying, "How tremendous is the power available to us who believe." Indeed. Be men of prayer. And taking care of business as a deacon requires that you take care of your church. If Tramway Baptist Church means anything special in your life, you're going to be involved in the life of the church. Involvement means participation. It means faithfulness. It means support. Like the little boy who prayed, "Dear God, please count me in. Your friend, Herbie." Involvement means that the Lord can count on you to be present and accounted for, to do your part, to fulfill your ministry. And together with that, involvement means that you do what you can to foster a spirit of unity and harmony in the life of the church. The psalmist said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Yes, involvement means discussion and decisions and sometimes disagreement. But without rancor or grumbling or divisiveness. In your attitude and in your actions in public and private, seek to build up the church. Speak well of your church, your fellow deacons, your fellow church members, and encourage others to do the same. For only as we live together and serve together in mutual love and respect can the church do its best work, reflecting the best of Christ that is in us. Taking care of business as a deacon requires that you take care of your people. And you say, your people? Yes, your people. The people that God gives you. The people that God places in your path. The people around you who need you. Deacons are called to serve the needs of people. In and outside the church. Indeed, the word deacon means servant, and originally it described one who walked through the dust to wait on tables, a servant. The story is told that while practicing takeoffs and landings during a night training exercise, the pilot of a Huey Cobra helicopter miscalculated his landing and he landed on his tail rotor. The landing was so hard that it broke off the tail boom. And when the helicopter hit the ground, it started skidding and spinning, creating sparks. And it was doing 360 down the runway right past the control tower. And the man in the control tower radioed the pilot saying, "Sir, do you need any assistance?" And the pilot answered back, "I don't know, tower, we ain't done crashing yet." Well, in every church, every community, there are people who are hurting and struggling, and some of them ain't done crashing yet. And in your ministry as deacons, you are called to get alongside of them, to stand by them, to be a friend, an encourager, to enable them to walk and not faint. You're called to serve. One thing more. Taking care of business as a deacon means that you take care of your witness. Take care of your influence as a representative of Christ. Every time I read 1 Timothy 3, I hear Paul saying to the church, to the deacons, wherever you go, whatever you do, the words that you speak, the deeds that you do, the life that you live before others, remember that it will speak volumes about the truth and the depth of your relationship to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And your life will either draw men to Christ or turn them away. So take care of your witness, your influence. There's an old story I heard years ago, and I suspect that many of you have heard it as well, but it makes the point I want to make in closing this part this morning. Lamar Wadsworth writes, "When my children were small, they enjoyed singing choruses as we rode in the car. One they especially liked was, 'You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine.' And once they were singing it, when I noticed something didn't sound right, so I dropped out to listen, and Melissa, our little daughter, about 5 or 6 at the time, was singing, "You can't be a deacon if your light don't shine." She had the words of the chorus wrong, but she was right about deacons. They should be shining lights who point others to Christ. And that's my prayer for you in your ministry as deacons, shining lights, pointing others to the Christ who is in you. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 308. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." I invite you to come. Come and accept Christ. Come and unite with His church. Come and recommit your life as we stand and as we sing. We come now to the ordination of our deacons, and I need to say something to you about the ceremony that's going to follow. In the book of Acts, we read chapter 6, beginning with verse 2, that the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so we come now to the ordination of deacons. In just a few minutes, our deacon candidates will come forward and kneel for the laying on of hands. And since this act is a significant part of any ordination service, I think it would be well for us to have some understanding of its meaning, of what we are about in the laying on of hands. And so first of all, I would suggest to you that the laying on of hands is a continuation of an ancient biblical tradition. We find this practice in both the Old and the New Testament. In Numbers 27 and Deuteronomy 34, Moses laid his hands on Joshua, ordaining him, that is, setting him apart as a leader among God's people and as Moses' successor. In Acts 6, we read that the 7 were ordained, set apart by the 12 with prayer and the laying on of hands. We find this practice in Acts 13 and in 1 and 2 Timothy. And so what we do here today has deep biblical roots. Practice among God's chosen people in ancient Israel and in the life of the early church. And so today we are following in their steps. And secondly, the laying on of hands is a confession. That is to say, it is an affirmation, a public recognition. When Moses laid his hands on Joshua, he was acknowledging him as Moses' successor, yes, but also he was affirming, publicly recognizing that Joshua had the spiritual qualifications to be that successor, to lead the people. And in Acts 6, prior to the laying on of hands, the 12 said, "Choose men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, men who are full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit." And as I read a moment ago from 1 Timothy 3, Paul set down those qualifications that should be considered prayerfully in the selection of deacons. And so to be selected to the office of deacon is indeed an honor. And it is not an honor conferred on every member of the church. Now listen, it doesn't mean that the deacons are super saints any more than your pastor is a super saint. However, as we lay our hands on these men this morning, we affirm and publicly recognize them as men of Christian character and integrity and spiritual maturity. Men whom we believe are well suited for the office of deacon. And thirdly, the laying on of hands is a consecration. The original meaning of the word was to cut off, to separate, to set apart. The word sanctify comes to my mind, and to sanctify is to make something or someone holy. That is to say, you make someone holy, you set them apart for the service of God. And so as we lay our hands on these men this morning, it is a setting apart as God's servants to serve Him by serving others in the church and beyond the church. Thus, the office of deacon is not a board of directors. It's not a place from which one rules the church. But it is a unique opportunity for ministry in and through the body of Christ. One thing more. The laying on of hands is a commitment. That is to say, as these men kneel for the laying on of hands, it symbolizes a yielding on their part, a willingness to give themselves, to surrender themselves to the ministry of deacon. Geraldine Chappell, a missionary, expressed this yielding of self in a poem she wrote years ago, and it goes something like this: "For their sakes, I sanctify myself. For these people's sakes, O Lord, these people amongst whom I move, for their sakes, O beloved Master, I separate myself in Thy name from my will to Thy will, from my way to Thy way. I lay at Thy feet for their sakes. All carelessness about my spirit, my words, my tone, my manner, I desire to serve them to the full, in my office, but in my life, myself, my all, that I may get at them, I come to You. I separate myself unto Thee." And I would emphasize those words: "I lay at Thy feet, O Lord, for their sakes, all carelessness about my spirit, my words, my tone, my manner, I desire to serve them to the full, not only in my office, but in my life, myself, my all." May that be reflected in your life and in your ministry as deacons, is my prayer. And may God bless you and make your ministry a blessing. I'm going to ask Phil Lyles and Jim Sandlin if they would come forward and kneel facing the congregation. Larry, and those of you who serve in the office of deacon or have served in the office of deacon, if you would get up and come around this way for the laying on of hands, please. Phil, it is my pleasure to set you apart for the office of deacon. And I'll be praying for you. God bless you in that service. Jim, it is a privilege to set you apart for the office of deacon. And I thank God for this decision. I'll be praying for you in that ministry. God bless you. Jim, Phil, will you stand, please? Jim, I want to present you with this ordination certificate. Phil, and present you with the certificate. I'm so proud of you, men, and what a privilege it is to ordain you today. And I'm going to ask Cindy and Gwen if you would come and stand with your husbands for the closing prayer. And you want to come by and shake the hands of your new deacons and let them know that you'll be praying for them in that ministry here at Tramway.
Just as they can charge. Let's remember that we too are charged. We receive.